I might go with Attenborough. I don't feel confident in my John Wayne at all.
Okay. I want to set you up to win.
Okay. Harry Truman was a guy.
This was such a good idea!
America! Red China! Hello, everyone, and welcome to Parks and Rewatch. I'm your host, Joe.
And I'm Joy.
And today, we are diving into Season 7, Episode 4, Woo. Leslie and Ron.
It could not have come sooner.
Joy, we haven't recorded a podcast in like 10 years.
I know. Do I know how to do this?
I don't know. I don't know if I know how to do this.
Oh, okay. Well, we're going to make the best of it.
I hit record and Logic started recording in the wrong place, and I feel so unprofessional.
I know. Well, I already feel super discombobulated because you got on the call and your background's totally different. You're like a floating head in the dark.
It was way worse before I did bring one of my light panels back in. I wondered if I could get away with it. And it literally just looked like my head was floating in a void.
And you're also wearing a black hoodie.
Yeah.
So
I was like, okay. I look like I'm in a cave right now. Yeah,
so
I know.
We got the matching memo, except my background's different because the Murphy bed's down.
I know. That threw me off. That threw me off big time.
If you happen to be a patron, which everybody wants to be, and you get to see our videos, ta-da, there's a Murphy bed.
Ta-da.
In my nondescript blue room.
Joy, what happens in today's episode?
Okay, so there's something tricky about how I wrote it. See if you can figure it out.
Okay.
It's going to be easier if you have a visual on it. The day has come. How shall truth be revealed? Anne's house demolished. Ne'er a trace to be seen. Knots to untangle, glass doors, cage them in, overt attempts at finding the truth, details and stories emerge. It takes a minute to uncover. Truth spills over. Slowly, the pieces come together. Over the years, variables shift, ever more unaware yet. Reunited at last.
I feel like a dum-dum because I don't see it.
Okay. If you look at the first letter of each sentence, it says, thank God it's over.
Oh my goodness. Well done.
I just had to put it in because I was like, relief has come.
Oh my goodness. That is amazing.
Thank God it's over.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, yeah. If you couldn't tell, we're relieved that the Ron Leslie conflict is ending in this episode.
Woof. Sure are. Sure are. All right, episode behind the scenes of trivia. IMDb had a lot to say. And for the first time in feels like a year, Wikipedia finally had a page on the episode. What? IMDb. In Parks and Recreation Summer Catalog from 2010, Leslie says to Ron, why would anyone eat anything other than breakfast foods? Ron replies, people are idiots, Leslie. In this episode, Ron asks the same question to Leslie, in which she replies, people are idiots, Ron.
No.
I know. It's so cute and brilliant. Warms
nice
the cockles of
callback.
My heart. The song the janitor is listening to, Man, I Feel Like a Woman, by Shania Twain, is the same as the one the janitor is listening to in Parks and Recreation Lil Sebastian, 2011, when he interrupts the moment of silence the Parks and Rec department is having.
Mm-hmm. That guy just loves that song.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go, girls. Have you seen that meme that talks about, like, I could run through a brick wall when I hear Shania Twain say,
no,
let's go, girls.
Oh, my gosh. Woo. For the Parks and Rec mixtape, Jerry chose We Didn't Start the Fire by Billy Joel. Billy Joel's ex-wife, Christy Brinkley, plays Terry's wife, Gail.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh. The room where the janitor is cleaning should be Mark's old office.
Oh, that made me sad.
R.I.P. Mark. The mural the staff creates in season 2, episode... Why didn't they put the number in there? Episode Parks and Recreation, the Campbell, 2009, is visible in this episode. I did see that. It made me very happy to see the camel back on the wall. There's a question mark sticker Leslie had made for her recall election stuck to the wall being cleaned by the janitor. Mm-hmm. The mock-up of Morningstar in Ron's office features nods to previous episodes with logos for Norton's Building, which is the company Mark goes to work for after season 2, and Reston St. James, who designed the Pawnee Commons.
Wow. All
kinds
of Easter
eggs.
Interesting
how it all comes back together. Also, I just thought of this. Would I want Ron building my huge building if he doesn't follow codes?
I'm
Took
assuming
that back to
that,
Mark and...
I'm assuming because it's a business now, he cares a little more than he does about his own wood shop. But who knows?
I don't know. The song We Didn't Start the Fire was also parodied in The Office, which has the same showrunners, by Dwight in the episode The Fire in 2005. Do you remember that?
Yes, very much.
What happens in that scene?
Ryan, the temp, starts a fire in the office by nuking a cheesy pita in the microwave.
Oh, no.
And Dwight is struggling with feelings of jealousy regarding Ryan because Michael, the boss, thinks he's really cool. And so when Dwight discovers that Ryan has started the fire, he gets really excited and sings that song, but with the words changed to Ryan started the fire.
Good. Good. Dwight is on point and also a little over the top, but it's adorable. Mm-hmm. Ron surprises Leslie in the end with the frame made from Anne's house's front door, which brings Leslie to tears. This isn't the first time, though, that he's salvaged a part of Anne's house for Leslie's sake, since he also forged Leslie and Ben's wedding rings from a sconce in her home. So in theory, she has a little piece of Anne with her all the time.
Yes, she does.
Ugh, okay. Bip-bip-bip. In a flashback scene in January 2015, Leslie confronts Ron about his Morningstar project, and she says she's upset the development will require Anne's old house to be torn down. Ron responds that she shouldn't care because Anne hasn't lived there in 5 years. Yet, Anne lived in the house up until some point during her pregnancy when she moved in with Chris and could only have been gone from it for upwards of 2 years by January 2015. Oh, there's people on the internet checking your timelines.
What is time, even?
I don't know. It's very confusing.
Become convinced it doesn't matter when you're writing TV shows.
Yeah. I mean, you do you, I guess. During the flashback scenes, Leslie would have been about halfway through her pregnancy carrying triplets at April's party and would likely have just given birth shortly before the Morningstar incident. However, neither scene shows Leslie with any signs of pregnancy at all. Wikipedia said, in an interview with Entertainment Weekly, Schur revealed that the story for the episode had been one of the first plots developed for the season. He explained that the ensemble nature of the show did not allow many of the actors to strut their stuff as much as you would like, so he decided to write an episode to showcase the acting abilities of both Poehler and Offerman. He picked the two characters to base this episode around because their relationship had, quote, always been the center of the show in many ways, the philosophical center and the emotional center of the show. That was a very weird sentence. The two of them thus represented, quote, the yin and the yang, end quote, in regards to their opinions on government. As such, this episode, which Schur likened to a two-person play, was crafted as to allow the two characters to sit in a single room and simply talk to one another. That was interesting to me.
Mm-hmm. I like the idea of it as a two-person play.
I still don't like how they presented it, though.
No.
I like the outcome, but the means do not justify it.
I have thoughts on this, but I was going to wait until you finish the section to share them.
Okay. In an interview with HitFix, Schur later explained the reason why Leslie and Ron's fallout made sense. Quote, we decided to do it because it seemed like the juiciest conflict that would reasonably have sprung up. We've always talked about Leslie and Ron's friendship being helped by their proximity and their constant contact. It's a lot harder to just write off people who are different from you when you see them every day and talk every day, and therefore find inevitable points of overlap, like breakfast food. Were that proximity to disappear, it seemed natural that Leslie and Ron would drift apart a little. Offerman later revealed that he and many other members of the staff were worried about how fans would react to the episode's rather serious story. While Parks and Recreation had made heavy use of emotional scenes in the past, This episode marked one of the first times that an entire episode would largely be built around a non-comedic plot or set piece. Offerman noted that, quote, when we did a couple of the more emotional scenes, they felt good and right, but I looked around at everyone and said, is it okay if we do that? I think that was dramatic, guys. Despite this hesitation, Offerman welcomed the chance to act dramatically. So there you go. I love it when Wikipedia has stuff because people contribute to it from all around, and so it does become the true wiki, and I wouldn't have found all of those separately. So thanks, Wikipedia. What are your thoughts, Joe?
Yeah, my thoughts are I can appreciate what he's saying. It gives me some context. You know, it's kind of nice to know where his mind was when he was thinking about, you know, giving these two characters conflict and why.
Is being sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it still, I think the word I beef with the most is reasonable, because I think his explanation is great, but we just wind up in different places on whether or not it's reasonable. For reasons I've discussed before, it doesn't feel to me like it makes sense for the characters to fight like that.
Yeah.
And to me, there seems like a big difference between drift apart a little and what the conflict in this season wound up being. They didn't drift apart a little. They were mortal enemies who couldn't stand the sight of each other. That still feels unearned.
Yeah, and I mean, even think to the COVID special. Like, Leslie is still the heart and the crew of getting everybody together and checking up on everybody.
Yes.
So her not maintaining a relationship with Ron seems highly implausible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fascinating. Okay. I had one dive, and it's in the boofs. So we can talk about Leon Trotsky and Trotskyism and Marxism in the boofs. So to use this time, I figured I will present you with the beautiful rewritten song that Leslie did, and we'll talk about all of the things that are on the board. Joe, would you please present in a creative way Leslie's rewrite?
We didn't
start the fire.
Definitely. Do you have any notes for me on what you would like to see?
I would like an emotional performance by someone who does not have emotions.
Ooh, who's someone who doesn't have emotions?
Think of like, okay, do John Wayne. Because his character is like so masculine, he shouldn't have emotions. But yet,
Okay,
this is his manifesto.
My John Wayne has always been shaky at best. I'm going to give it a shot at 7:31 and however many seconds.
20 seconds.
Mountain Standard Time.
You could do it in, who's the nature documentary guy?
Attenborough?
Yeah.
I might go with Attenborough. I don't feel confident in my John Wayne at all.
Okay. I want to set you up to win.
Okay. Harry Truman was... a guy.
This was such a good idea.
America. Red China. All the countries. Other people. Everyone is fun. Joe Mantenga. Ian McKellen. I have to buy you a new toaster. This is awesome. You're so stupid. Jumping up and down. Freddy Krueger bought some pants. Oprah has a turtle farm. Peter Piper. Pee-pee-poopy.
Daddy ate a squirrel.
Oh my gosh. That is an award-winning performance.
Admiral was the right call for that, for sure. From the first line. Oh my goodness.
Harry Truman was a guy.
I'm so proud of you. My face hurts.
Oh my goodness.
When I listen to the episode when it comes out, I might just back it up and listen to that again.
Oh, that was fun.
Thank you for humoring me.
Of course.
Okay, let's talk about... Oh, what did we call it early in the days? The Creative Connection Board of... Oh, no, what was it? Heather, help. Okay. The board. These are all out of order, but it's fine. Okay, starts with May 2014. Leslie takes a job at National Parks. August 2014, she hires April. The theme of the party was Zombie Teenage Biker Gang Pizza Jamboree. Which of course it is.
Of course it is.
Good job, April. That was the last time Ron and Leslie saw each other for more than 5 minutes. Again, which seems implausible. Highly implausible. November 2014, you visit the third floor. November 2014, Ron quits and doesn't tell me. Leslie returns from a trip one week later and finds that Ron quit the parks department, started his own building company. January 2015, Morningstar. Leslie, quote, calmly, end quote, sauntered to Ron's office, attempted to have a rational discussion. And I like her British accent. We live at the Morningstar. That's so posh and hibbly fibbly gibbly. Of course it is. All right. Plus, here's all of the additional notes from round two of the board that I could type out. October 2013, dot, dot, dot. A lot of them didn't make grammatical sense. We and I met for lunch. We had a good time. So some of them with like dots or X's or whatever is like, I don't know. I think that's what it says, but internet. June 2014, I called to wish you happy half year's day, left a message and you never responded. Pachytis scandal. August 2015, Sweetums trial. Randomly, there's just something on there called U.S. Post Office raid.
Oh, wow.
I liked this one. You lost to Jam at Strike It Rich Night at Bowling.
Which, because he was in public, he must have felt too ashamed to use his method, which he got from Tom, in which he bowled a perfect game, because I have a hard time seeing him losing in that context.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Especially against Jam. Mm-hmm. Oof. He turned on the flu shot, parentheses, you got sick. December 20th, just a random sticky note, my kid's birthday. There's just a new haircut in there somewhere. March 2014, I invited you to Pacer, something, 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 and you said you were too busy. God, I think you lying to me. The Lil Sebastian Giddy Up Classic, I saw you hiding from me. Why? February 2015, Valentine's. IOW conference, March 2015. October 2016, Ben and Sonia. Who's Sonia? Host father and daughter first annual Kids of Dunshire.
I think that's adorable. You might have answered your own question.
One of the kids?
Yeah, I think Sonia's their daughter.
Oh, yeah, 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 after the Supreme Court justice. March 2016, Easter egg hunt for Red October. What? I'm telling you, these don't make sense.
Well, The Hunt for Red October is a movie. So, okay.
That's why I wouldn't know what it is.
It seems like a themed Easter egg hunt, and that's amazing.
What kind of movie is Red October?
It's a war movie.
Oh, great. Yeah. All right.
Easter egg hunt for Red October.
Okay. This one made no sense. I sat and stared at it several times to know whatever the word is that comes after that.
A veil?
There it is. October 2016. Nope. Back it up. Beep, 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 beep. June 2015, Pawnee Goddesses beat Pawnee Rangers at Hands on a Hard Body.
Ugh.
Yep. Made no sense. I tried very hard to figure out what that was.
No.
I don't know what
no.
it is. I just feel very awkward.
I don't like it.
Okay. November 2016, Scooter, there's something in the middle, falls in lake.
I kind of like it better with just Scooter dot, 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 falls in lake.
Well. Haunch Burger opens 21st restaurant. You were at the ribbon cutting ceremony, smug. Mm-hmm. There's one that's just called Lucy's Leg Sorcery. I don't know what that means. Founder's
Maybe
Day.
It was supposed to be surgery, but I like it way better as sorcery.
Sorcery. Okay. Yeah, it might have been surgery, but it's fine. Sorcery. Founder's Day. There was no barbecue. No Ooh. Barbecue for Founder's Day. Missed Anne's half birthday. Pawnee Pet Dance, third annual. September 2016, Harvest Festival, parentheses, no show. Oh, man. So then on the outside of this board were a ton of sticky notes. So I feel like it's a riddle. The first one said, where is C-439762? The next one said, 62410, April file BG3-4. The next one says, go back to C-47 to find C-46 files. The next one says, see above. The next one says, begin files, G14 through G15 green. The next one says, no. And the last one says, 3-11-15, rearrange L653 through C659. So, I think all of those are definitely very helpful.
I feel like the first one is almost like a stormtrooper identification number. TK421, why aren't you at your post?
Okay, so if this were a scavenger hunt, where would this lead you, Joe?
I have no idea. I wouldn't even know where to start.
I want it to be that it would lead me into like the depths of what is the name Gringotts, the Goblin Bank,
the Goblin
in Harry Potter.
Only in the Parks and Rec universe, it'd be the Goblin Bank of Harry Potter World.
Well, no,
and it would
be the
probably
floor.
Be it would probably be April having sent you there, like she sent Tennifer to Dwayne Wade's house.
Tennifer, oh my gosh, I forgot about her. Yeah, I would
Hold
hope
on.
That
it's Xanax o'clock.
Oh no, I would hope that it's a in the Pawnee world. I would hope that it's a scavenger hunt that makes you talk to Ethel.
Mm-hmm. But at this point, favorite. I'd be afraid I'd just wind up in some basement room in City Hall and suddenly hear the skittering of raccoons from the edges of the room, and yeah, it'd be too late.
Back away from that. Now it's time for our likes and dislikes, where we discuss what we liked and what we didn't like. Joe, what'd you like?
I liked the Parks gang taking no nonsense from Leslie and Ron.
That's right.
They are all fed up, as we are all fed up, and
Amen.
They are not letting Ron and Leslie out of this room until they figure it out.
That's right.
Except that I really like that Jerry almost lets them out.
Think about what you're doing, son. Is that really what you want to do?
That was so good. I like Ron calling Leslie Lauren.
Yep.
I like that he chooses sit here. I love this line from Leslie. I think Wood is stupid, and so does everybody else.
Oh, she was trying so hard.
Yes. And I like that Leslie's singing tactic is super effective, because someone maintaining eye contact with you while singing is one of the most uncomfortable things I can think of.
Nope.
That was really smart. I like that Ron is willing to watch a foreign film or talk to a man with a ponytail.
Oh, man.
I like Ron's yoga outfit.
Mm-hmm. So matchy.
I like Ron saying, I feel extremely angry in his yoga outfit.
Yes, appropriate.
And as much as I still don't think the conflict between Leslie and Ron is earned, they do sell the emotion of their fallout in this mm-hmm. episode. I think yeah. the sadness is balanced with the humor really well. And I can't help but feel like if they had made more of the conflict like that, rather than Leslie bristling and yelling every time she sees Ron, yeah. maybe I wouldn't have minded it as much.
Yeah.
Like maybe if there were moments throughout of sadness where you could see foreshadowing of the bigger reason.
Right.
You know, maybe if there's a little more complexity to their conflict, I wouldn't have minded it so much. But it essentially, to me, at least thinking back on it, just feels like Leslie yelling every yeah. time she sees Ron, and that doesn't feel very nuanced.
No. We've already talked so much about Leslie yelling.
Yes.
We don't like it.
I like Ron's confession that he was going to ask Leslie for a job mm-hmm. in the federal government.
Oh,
just
man.
Saying it feels dirty. And I do like there's this subtle through line in the show that Leslie can handle and enjoy mm-hmm. scotch like Ron while Ben dies nearly every time he yep. tries it.
Yep. But it makes Ben so much more entertaining.
Yes. And it adds just a nice layer to Leslie because she can go toe to toe with Ron in more than one way, including she can drink and enjoy Lagavulin as well.
Yep.
And my last like was that I like Donna's laugh when Ron makes the saxophone part. Because
it was just so genuine.
I know. It cuts back to the Parks crew and she is just dying.
Mm-hmm. As she should be.
So those are my likes. What did you like about this episode?
Finally, the horrible tension will be over by the end of this 21-minute episode.
To what tension are you referring?
You're so funny. You're so funny.
Don't mess with me.
I like that Terry almost lets them out. I love how thought through this intervention is.
Mm-hmm.
They went through building security, phones, IT, taking their personal devices and key cards, and the whole team is in on it.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked so many times about how episodes are so much better when the whole team works together.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that part of it. It's such a good setup. I really appreciate how each of them in the argument stands up for themselves. Like, it's good to see Ron not just let Leslie win and being specific about his boundaries. Like, she now has 3 minutes to talk. And also to see Leslie actually listen for once. Like, is this the first time we've seen true empathy from her? Probably not, but it feels like it. I love Ron's quote of, if we're going to lie to them, I'm not going to let you lie to them. Obviously. I love that, of course, Ron whittled a key.
Yes.
I love Ron calling Leslie Lauren. I love the comedy of Leslie's attempts to get Ron to talk. The slapping him on the shoulder while saying, talk to me, talk to me, talk to me, talk to me, talk to me. blowing a fan right at his ear. I need to note, it's the wrong way from where his hair goes. You don't do that for those of us that have a part that goes to a side. You don't blow it the wrong way. But, I mean, her intention was being cruel, so.
So, mission accomplished.
Ugh. Just made me bristle. I think Wood is stupid, and so does everyone else. You guys, Ron loves plastic. She covers him in sticky notes. That was hilarious, including the little sign here pointer ones.
Mm-hmm.
Made me so happy. I love that she chose Jerry's choice on the barbecue mix and keeping eye contact. I love April's party theme. I love Ron's rant about food and stuff. He's like, again, the name of the store is Food and Stuff. They sell food and stuff. If you don't like it, go to that new place, Complete Food. I love the other potential listed reasons that Leslie came up with. I transcribed these from her notepad. Had conversation. That was the wrong word. It's supposed to be with. Had conversations with Postmaster General about getting Ron's face on a stamp. taught the triplets about the dangers of minimizing the role of government in an increasingly complicated society. I submitted to the New Yorker cartoon caption contest under your name. I invited you to my LinkedIn professional circle. Started using the word scrumptious too much.
That would do it for me.
It's scrumptious, though. I love the comedy of the Claymore Mine birthday celebration, though I have so many questions. How did those balloons inflate? There was no tank attached to it. There was no room for inflatable... I don't know. So many questions. But I like it. Do you have any comments on that?
Yes, but they come later.
Okay, got
They're going to be scrumptious.
Oh, shoot.
I can't even take myself seriously saying that word.
Scrumptious. Diddly scrumptious.
I'm feeling feelings right now.
Oh, just switch back to Damon Attenborough. Harry Potter. No, Harry Truman was a man.
I mean, so was Harry Potter eventually.
Dang it. Maybe Harry not Potter at the point that we meet him, but was a wizard. I love the janitor across the courtyard listening to the best thing about being a woman. I love
you're
the power.
You're a wizard, Harry. I had to get that out. I couldn't stop thinking about David Attenborough and Harry Potter.
Yep. I love the power of a really good homemade brownie. I love Ron wearing Craig's yoga outfit with his empty cell phone clip. Mm-hmm. Did you notice that he kept that on?
I did.
I love Leslie's actual empathy. I love how stiff Ron is. That was a beautiful, beautiful mm-hmm. moment. I love Ron's pure joy at the breakfast art coming back out.
Yes.
I love the sax fart and the ending on the classic line, why does anyone in the world ever eat anything but breakfast food? People are idiots, Ron. I have some mid-likes. Leslie trying to figure out what is going on. On one hand, it's brilliant. And it shows her complete unawareness on the other. My observation of Ron is that he's a human who needs to be asked intentional questions, and he needs safety, which also means not meddling. And I would assume he needs frequency as well, because he doesn't want to, he's not going to give you a lot of information at one mm-hmm. time anyway. So
that's interesting.
Yeah.
Given his past with the Tammies.
The Tammies.
Yeah, that seems like a very interesting observation.
Thank you. What did you not like?
I do not get sentimental over certain... I do get sentimental over certain things, for sure. But thinking of everything that Leslie must have significant emotional attachments to is exhausting. Kind of like how
100%.
Ben and Anne both feel when they're trying to get the waffle iron.
Yeah.
Just everything... And memorializing those things by thinking that they should never change, even when the people that gave them significance are long gone.
Yep.
That is also exhausting.
Yep.
And I mean, obviously not the most healthy thing in a real world context, but just the fact that she apparently thought that Anne's house should stand and never change. And
it's not a historical landmark.
I mean, to her, I can see... It would absolutely be, but that is just a little exhausting.
Somebody else would have moved in and lived there for several years. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then my other dislike is, how is there still a bottle of Lagavulin in the Parks Department? Craig does not strike me as a Lagavulin drinker.
No.
So
maybe Ron had one hidden somewhere, like his bacon stash in the ceiling. Mm-hmm.
That's what I would guess. But yeah, when that popped up, I was like, hang on a second. But
where'd that come from?
I could absolutely see Ron having several bottles stashed in hidden places. So
yeah.
I'll allow it. What did you dislike about this episode?
So many assumptions were made. I'm learning a lot about them in my marriage journey with Bree. I am really good at making assumptions and not actually asking people what they're looking for. So here are some assumptions I found in the episode. Ron has no interest in pursuing work proximity acquaintances. Leslie has to figure this out by herself. Ron has to update Leslie on everything in his life. Leslie can't bother to reach out to Ron. She's too busy. Ron has to run everything by Leslie before he acts. Leslie holds all the keys to everything always and has to be in charge. Things should stay the same. Morningstar will attract posh British-accented folks. The Claymore Mine was real. Diving into the details of everything will solve the issue. Leslie will be able to never raise her voice to Mr. Swanson. So many assumptions. So little time. So there's that. Now it's time for the Coronation of the Beautiful Rule-Breaking Moth segment, in which we choose one specific thing that was a breakout star of the episode. Joe.
My beautiful rule-breaking moth is that the Leslie-Ron conflict is over.
Yes.
And, yes. And the scene when the Parks crew come back for Leslie and Ron in the morning. That is,
yep.
That is a funny scene. I enjoyed it that. Is. Who or what is your beautiful rule-breaking moth?
Well, it's all caps, so can you read it for me?
OMG, the conflict is over and my insides are calm again.
There it is. Right there. And now it's time
for
the
Amy.
Shaming of the Jerry.
Oh.
Part of the show where we shame one particular thing for bringing the episode down or being unnecessarily annoying.
You got a little too good with your your voice effects. And all of a sudden I was transported to like, ooh, I'm in a stone cabin on the coast of Ireland and a gale is whipping outside.
Well, you do have a fireplace going behind you on your TV, so.
You got me there. You got me all the way there.
All right, who or what's your Jerry?
This is my biggest beef of the entire series, and I am not blowing it out of proportion. Get it?
Yeah.
I'm not blowing it out of proportion. The idea that the partially defused Claymore mine could somehow contain that arrangement of balloons, music, and Leslie's voice is so far beyond plausibility that it is mind-blowing to me.
Yep.
I am convinced, even in 2022, even if you put somebody like Mark Rober on it, this would be completely impossible to actually do.
Was he the glitter cannon, glitter confetti thing? Yeah.
Yes. I could buy the confetti and maybe even the sounds. But the instantly inflated helium balloons tied and strung?
Nope.
No way.
Yeah, and they showed the close-ups of the mine, and it was just an empty plastic shell.
Yeah.
Like, there would have to be something in there.
No. I tried to think through some of how you could maybe... No, it just doesn't make sense. The helium balloons are tied. They're tied. It doesn't work.
Yeah. I didn't even bother to go down the path of how would we do that. I was like, nope, it's just,
It's just jarring because it's so unrealistic. It pulls you out of the moment a little bit.
Yep, correct.
So that's my Jerry. Who or what is your Jerry?
I'm just still so frustrated with this conflict as a whole. It just doesn't feel earned to me. Still driving me crazy. But secondly, the other thing that bothered me the most was why would the Parks Department store all of that stuff from like the desks, the weird art, the coffee machine? Who's got room for that?
Yeah.
Nobody. That is all.
Yep. That makes sense. I mean, how long has it been since the changeover happened in the Parks Department? It's been a while, obviously. So, yeah, that's another thing that is a little hard to suspend disbelief for.
Yeah, again, we're playing with time.
But anyway, it's time.
That was such a big sigh. Anyway, whatever. Just messing with time again. It sounds like a lawnmower far away. That's... Okay, come back to me, Joe. Come back. What are you doing?
Lawnmower Joe. That's a different character.
All right. Well, let's read that next part in Lawnmower Joe. Did you catch that? I caught all of that. That was a very well thought out section. Thanks, Lawnmower Joe. Anything else you want to say? Nope. Sounds like
you gotta do the pull cord not being able to start. Oh my goodness.
Like that. Two for two with sound effects today.
You are. Oh my goodness. Wow. Joy, how many little Sebastians would you rate this episode?
It's a four. It's good. I'm glad the conflict's over, but it still didn't reach that pinnacle where my insides feel warm and squishy and I have thoroughly laughed my butt off. Yep. What about you?
I also rated this episode a four for basically the same reasons.
Yep. Yep.
Which means it's time to ask that all important question.
I knew you were going to do it. I knew you were going to do it.
I will translate Lawnmower Joy. That means where in the world is John Ralphio?
I knew it. I knew that was coming.
Who would have ever thought when we started this podcast that lawnmower would be an impression that we would do?
Oh, but now for Judy mowing the lawn with the lawnmower. Goodness.
This thing won't start.
I'm just assuming because of where Judy is in life that she has about enough strength for one pull and that's it.
She should have gotten a John Deere lawnmower.
Oh my goodness.
Those are great.
Joy, what do you think John Ralphio is up to during the events of Leslie and Ron?
Okay. With the magnetic locks engaged for the Parks Department, somehow there was an error in the system, and that also engaged the locks for the basement storage doors, which glitched into a locked position because certain wires were chewed by raccoons?
No.
And now that the gang and John Ralphio have survived 12 hours. 12 hours locked in a dark, dank storage room together, they've come out with new plans. And a Nintendo 64 they found in a box.
Man, the N64 just brought that one home for me. Because all of a sudden I'm just imagining them firing it up and hearing the GoldenEye theme.
Yep.
Oh my goodness.
Where do you think they are?
I don't know. I just think that this is one of those times where you nailed it. And I knew as soon as I saw that factoid about the N64, I was not going to be able to, like, that has to stand because it's
okay.
True.
So then, yes and it. What are they going to do with the N64?
Obviously, they're going to play GoldenEye. Okay. Obviously.
How many people can play that?
Four. Four-player
game. Okay. Okay.
So they're going to do a little King's Court, rotate out the loser. Mm-hmm. And obviously, Randy, because he knows what's up, is going to play as Oddjob, who's shorter than everyone else and can sneak up on you.
Great. I'm so proud of Randy.
he knows how it works.
He does, but he doesn't necessarily want to be on top. Like, that's, if we're playing the game of Survivor here, mixed with N64 GoldenEye, like, woo, you got to play your own game, but you don't want to, like, put yourself out there too much, because then people are going to eliminate you and gang up on you, and then, you know,
which is always the... That's always the risk of choosing odd job, because for a while you can sneak around, you're short, you're harder to hit, but then everyone else gets mad at you because you keep sneaking up on them and you're hard to hit. And so it can turn into a 3-on-1 situation.
If anybody can figure out how to ride that line, it's Randy.
It'd be Randy for sure.
Good luck, Randy.
Okay, it's time for Johnny Karate's Karate Moves to Success and
inspirational segment.
My brain just broke. Okay. Joy, what do you want a karate chop?
I'm so sick of political texts and calls. I'm glad the election's over. Mm-hmm. Stop texting me. It just feels like an affront.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh. What about you?
How dark it gets early. Yes. Now
it's
that
awful.
The time has changed. I mean, I don't do super well with full darkness at 5 o'clock at night.
No.
That's just, yeah.
It was like 6 yesterday, and I'm like, what is it, 9 p.m.? No, it's 6 something.
Yeah, it messes with my circadian rhythm, and it's just bad.
Yeah.
So who do you want to be nice to this week?
This is super random, but if you're not a gluten-free human, try cream of wheat. I had it as a kid, and so did Brie, and we just got some, and surprisingly, I'm enjoying it with a little pat of butter and some...
Very nice.
Nice. Warm breakfast cereal for your winter.
Very nice.
What about you?
So I just wanted to share a concept that I thought might be helpful, encouraging, whatever, to someone, because it's a concept that's been resonating with me a lot lately. Mm-hmm. As we discussed at the beginning, I'm in the middle of completely redoing my office. I recently tore it down to the foundations and started from scratch. And there have been several moments in that process where I realized, oh, I've started doing this the wrong way. I have to undo what I have done and start over, even when that means I've already set drywall anchors for things and mounted them. I now need to undo it. I need to patch paint, all that stuff.
Ew.
And it reminded me of one of these things that has just sort of been a mantra in my life. Even if not necessarily an overt mantra, it's just a concept that has helped me a lot. And I remember the first time that I consciously thought of it was, I was working on a video project that had to be done and turned in the next morning.
Mm-hmm.
And it was after midnight. I was almost done. It was this huge project. And I was probably about 90% done. My computer crashed. And like totally crashed, shut off. And I'm panicking inside. I'm hoping that it's auto saved.
Yeah.
I open it back up. Like I get the computer back on. I open my project back up. And not only has it not auto saved, but the project was corrupted because of the crash.
Oh, no.
And I lost everything that I had worked on up until that point. Literally nothing was salvaged. Probably 6 or 7 hours of work was out the window, and there was nothing that I could do about it.
Ugh.
And it's after midnight, and the video is due that morning. And I was just heartbroken. I was furious. I mean, I could not believe that that had happened. And so I just got up from the computer. I was like, okay, I'm going to give myself 5 minutes. I'm going to sit back down. I'm going to start again. I just took 5 minutes to breathe, refocus, and then I started from scratch. And it took me till probably about 4 or 5 in the morning, but I got it done.
Wow.
And that just sort of gave me this concept of breathing and starting again.
Yeah.
You know, when I hit a setback, trying not to get derailed by it, not to, you know, let myself feel it, process for a second, taking that time to breathe, but then just starting again. And that's been super helpful to me on all kinds of scales, you know, from the small to the large, as I remodel a studio or as I deal with bigger life things.
Yeah.
It just helps to know, okay, I can feel this. I can take a second. And then I can start again from scratch if I have to. And that is okay because I'm going to get there.
Whew. That's a really good reminder. We're going to be okay. Everything is going to be okay. It might seem like a corrupted file at the moment, but it's going to be all right.
Yeah. There's a saying, I don't remember who said it or where it comes from, but he who limps still walks.
Mm.
You know, just the fact that, hey, you might have hit a setback, but you're going to get there. So if you've hit a setback, it's okay to breathe and start again. I don't usually get serious in my Be Nice segments. That felt
different.
I like
it when you do, though. Welcome to what it's like to listen to the Boofs, everybody. We talk about beautifully deep concepts and some philosophy. And it's wonderful.
All right. Joy, take us to that outro.
Give me a word.
Harry Truman.
Oh, no. How am I going to do Harry Truman?
Well, he was the guy, so.
You know I got elected. I'm feeling all right. I'm just going to be the president. Did you like that country twang?
I did. Mm-hmm, I did. Mm-hmm.
Moving in the White House, gonna get my wire rim glasses. The best thing about being the president is the prerogative to have a little fun. And oh, I'm Harry Truman. I got small glasses. I was a general, fought in the army. Look at me now. I am a president. Okay, pick another one. Whew.
Man. Let's go with saxophone.
You're going out tonight. You're gonna listen to a nice jazz trio. It is so great. Get that jazz up in my face. Woo-hoo-hoo. And you're gonna hope there's no fight. The best thing about listening to live jazz is that you never know when Duke Silver's gonna show up. I'm going crazy. What was the bar that he went to?
Cozy's.
Cozy's?
In Eagleton.
Hanging out at Cozy's, fawning over the guy. Nope. His name is Duke Silver, and he plays the saxophone. Look at him play now. His mustache is sway now. He plays the trills. It gives me thrills. Did you buy his album? I sure did. Oh my gosh, what am I doing with my life? All right, do your thing.
Thank you, everyone, for hanging out with us. We missed you. It's good to be back. Hope that you have had fun, because we certainly have. If you would like more Parks and Rewatch in your life, you can follow us on Instagram at Rewatch Parks. You can join the official Parks and Rewatch fan club on Facebook. If you'd like to support the show and get access to our after show exclusively for patrons, The Hucking Boofs, you can head on over to patreon.com/parksandrewatch to do that. And if you're an email type of person, you can send us an email at rewatchparks@gmail.com. If you're enjoying our show, it would mean the world to us if you would leave us a rating and a review on Apple Podcasts and a review on Spotify.
Yeah, I feel like a patron. Bum, bum, ba-da-da, bum, bum. Totally off key, but it's fine.
Reachy love fingers to you all, and we will see you next time.
And what do we say? lawnmower goodbye, everybody.
That was lawnmower for see you next time.
Why are we so great?